Welcome to the Covenant of Peace radio broadcast, the teaching ministry of Pastor Blair Bradley. This program is dedicated to bringing you the glorious truth of God's Word, one verse at a time.
A mighty fortress is our God.
We are living in powerful days, and we are seeing tremendous changes in our lives, our culture, our nation, and in the church. So now more than ever, we have a great need to exercise spiritual discernment and to know what the Bible teaches about the important issues that we all face today. So let's join Pastor Blair as he continues our study on the Word of God.
Welcome again, my beloved in Jesus Christ. We're continuing our verse-by-verse journey through the Epistle of 1 John, and today I want to continue to examine what John taught about testing the spirits. So let's open our Bibles and read 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 6, again together. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, of which you have heard that it is coming, and now it is already in the world. You are from God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. They are from the world, therefore they speak as from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. He who knows God listens to us. He who is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Now, in the last broadcast, we were going over just who John was referring to here in verse 1 by looking at the three major heresies that John says that we are supposed to test that attacked the church during the age of the apostles. And we were looking at the heresy of the Judaizers who attacked the sufficiency of grace early in the first century. So, I was encouraging you to examine Acts chapter 15 to look at the confrontation that the apostles had with this heresy. You see, Acts 15 speaks to us about the very first church council called the Jerusalem Council, and that council was convened precisely to engage the heresy of the legalists who were ignoring the grace of God by adding human effort to salvation. Now, we need to check our own hearts today, beloved, to make sure that if Paul, Peter, Barnabas, James had not convened that first council, that we would have. Because we need to view any attack against biblical truth in the very same light as these men did. And I pray that we do. You see, these men did exactly what John commanded in 1 John 4, verse 1, and they tested the spirits to see if they were of God. And they found that the Judaizers were not of God. And so they confronted them and developed biblical doctrine, which would successfully fight against their false teaching in the future. Now, we use the very same doctrine that was developed in this council today to fight against the modern Judaizers who teach that keeping the Sabbath or the dietary laws or the ceremonial laws or being baptized or speaking in tongues or keeping the sacraments or attending the Mass are requirements for salvation. So I hope that you can see that because the very same false teachings that plagued the church 1900 years ago are still alive and well in our day, we need sound doctrine to ward off those attacks, just like they did. Now it's interesting to note that because the heresy of the legalists was such a widespread attack against grace, the Apostle Paul wrote the entire Epistle of Galatians to fight against it. Galatians goes into great detail about grace versus law, and it is the go-to book today, along with parts of the book of Romans, which diffuses the arguments of the modern legalists in our day. Now, as Paul and Peter and James were fighting against legalism, another heresy rose up during this same time, which also attacked the grace of God. You will remember from our previous broadcast that all heresies, all false teachings are along one of three lines: the grace of God, the character and nature of God the Father, and the person and work of Jesus Christ. And we find this list of these three areas in Jude verse 4. Now, the second heresy to pop up was called antinomianism. And I realize that that's a $3 word, but I'm not the one who put a name on it. I would have called it something simpler. But it is called antinomianism. And antinomianism is the exact opposite of the heresy of the Judaizers, because it attacks grace from the other side. You see, the Judaizers perverted grace by ignoring it. And they taught that men have to earn their salvation by what they do for themselves. But antinomianism, on the other hand, abused grace, because it teaches that grace was everything. And so therefore, after we are saved, a believer can do anything that he wants to and live any way that he wants to. By ignoring grace, the Judaizers exalted law higher than God intended. But by abusing grace, the antinomians lowered law below what God intended. And this illustrates a very important concept that we need to know. The reason that so many people are off base about law and grace in our day is because they don't understand the proper biblical relationship that law has with grace. Grace did not come after the law. That's just not true. Grace was in operation way before God ever gave His law to man. The word grace is mentioned as early in the Bible as Genesis chapter 6, verse 8, when the Bible says, "But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord." And the word favor there could be translated as grace. But the concept of grace is found way before that. Look with me at Genesis chapter 3, verses 17 through 21. "Then to Adam he said, 'Because you have listened to the voice of your wife, and have eaten from the tree about which I commanded you, saying, "You shall not eat from it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In toil you will eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall grow for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you will eat bread till you return to the ground, because from it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return.' Now the man called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all the living. The Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife, and clothed them." Now here we have the scene immediately following the fall. And God had told Adam back in Genesis 2, 16 and 17, "The Lord God commanded the man, saying, 'From any tree of the garden you may freely eat, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat from it, you will surely die.'" So by rights, God would have been perfectly just to end it all right there. He could have killed Adam for what Adam did and ended the entire human race right then and there. But he didn't do that, did he? In spite of Adam's sin, God moved toward Adam by grace. And he did for Adam what Adam could not do for himself. Look again at verse 21. "The Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them." God rejected what man did for himself, and God shed blood, and God covered the man and woman's nakedness by what He did for them sovereignly. Now, why in the world did God do this? Because Adam deserved it? No. Was it because Adam was worthy of it? Nope. Was it because Adam was entitled to it? No. So why did God kill the animals and cover Adam's nakedness? Was God in any way obligated to do this? Not at all. So why did God do this? One word, grace. Remember, brothers and sisters, grace is unmerited favor, undeserved special treatment, and unearned love. Grace, marvelous grace, amazing grace. Now, the law would say that Adam had to die, that he deserved to die, that he had earned the payment or the wage of his death because of his sin. But grace says that because Adam was worthy to die, and precisely because Adam was worthy of eternal damnation, that unless God did something for Adam that Adam himself could not do, Adam was a goner. So God moved in grace to give to Adam that which Adam could not provide for himself. That is grace. You see, law is very easy for human beings to understand. Law says if you do good, then you get good. But if you do bad, then you get bad. That's easy. Everybody understands that concept intuitively. Even pagans understand law. But grace is not easily understood. That is because grace runs counterintuitive to the human mind and it transcends law. That makes grace to be a mystery and a puzzle and something that we have to learn and something that we have to marvel at and something that we have to be taught and something that we have to meditate upon and wonder over. And this is why grace is so easily perverted and why so many heresies have attacked it from one side or the other. This is why there is so much confusion about just what grace is in our day. And this is what makes grace to be so infinitely wonderful to the human race. So as we teach about grace and we learn about grace, we have to be careful to teach only what God has revealed about grace in Scripture. By adding anything else to our teaching, or by taking anything away from our teaching, grace is not understood correctly, and then it quickly becomes warped in our minds and eyes. And in the words of Jude verse 4, grace is turned into lasciviousness. So as the apostles were busy fighting off the heresy of the Judaizers, this other sinister false teaching about grace snuck into the church called antinomianism, or we could also call this lawlessness. So primarily Paul fought for the perversion of grace when he wrote Romans 5 and chapter 5 and 6 and Ephesians chapter 2. And I want to look at those verses very carefully. So let's turn in our Bibles and read Romans chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we exult in the hope of the glory of God. Now, back in Romans 4, Paul has taught that we are justified by faith and not works, which denounced the heresy of the legalists. And here at the beginning of chapter 5, Paul is giving us insight into the glory of God's grace. So let's move into what grace really is by looking at verses 6 through 8. For while we were still helpless, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for the good man someone would dare even to die. But God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now, why in the world would Christ die for us while we were yet sinners? Don't we deserve to be punished because we're sinners? Doesn't the law command that we be punished for being sinful? Sure does. That is why no one can be saved by the law, because no one can perfectly keep the law. And every human being is a sinner. And so we are condemned by the law. So the law is a curse to us. Not because there's anything at all wrong with the law, there isn't. The law is good, just, and holy. The law is a curse to us because we cannot keep it perfectly, and therefore we're judged by it. So what is wrong with the law is us. Yet here in these verses, Paul teaches that at the very moment of our greatest failure, at the point of our most ungodly existence, it was then that Christ died to save us. Now, what do you call that? Do you call it law? No. You call it grace. Well, did we deserve for Christ to die for us? No. Were we entitled to Christ's death? Nope. Was God obligated to die for us? Not at all. Well, why in the world, if we were guilty of being sinners, did God not simply destroy us all and end our lives right then and there instead of giving us the greatest and most valuable gift of heaven? One word, grace. Well, I'm going to have to stop right here, but please join me again on the next broadcast as we continue our journey through the epistle of 1 John. May God help us all.
Dear friends, if this radio broadcast of line upon line, precept upon precept teaching of God's holy word is a blessing to you, will you prayerfully consider supporting us financially? We want to increase our exposure here on the Gulf Coast through more radio stations and through the internet. Would you pray about coming alongside of us and help us do that to God's glory? For further information about how you can partner with us in seeing the gospel triumph in our area, or to receive a copy of today's broadcast, go to our website, www.covenantofpeace.net. Until next time. May the peace of God keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.